This is Night Call, the new nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tonight's subject, whatever happened to the Koerner Report? Tonight's guest, Mayor John V. Lindsay of New York City. As vice chairman of the President's Commission on Civil Disorders, he wrote much of the report himself. You speak for yourself and ask your questions directly by calling Collect, Night Call's national phone number, area code 212-749-3311, or in the New York area, 866-5010. Night Call's host in New York City is Del Shields.
Good evening. We welcome 8 new stations to the Night Call network tonight. WLRW-FM in Champaign, Illinois, WXVW, Jeffersonville, Indiana, WLRS-FM in Louisville, Kentucky, WPBC and WPBC-FM in Minneapolis, Minnesota, WFAH-FM in Alliance, Ohio, WBAX in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, and KNOK-FM in Fort Worth, Texas. In March of this year, the Koerner Report, so named because the chairman of the Presidential Commission on Civil Disorders was former Governor Otto Koerner of Illinois, was published. It's fair to say that the report and its conclusions have been largely and pointedly publicly ignored by President Johnson, who caused it to be compiled and written. Pragmatic political observers have said that this was because the report's major conclusion that the primary cause of our race riots was white racism was too bitter a pill for the president to get an already reluctant Congress to swallow in this election year. The report has not been ignored by our guest tonight, Mayor John Lindsay of New York City. Mayor Lindsay was vice chairman of the Koerner Commission. Now, we invite your questions and comments to Mayor Lindsay about whatever happened to the Koerner Report. You may call us collect from anywhere in the country where you're hearing Night Call. And the telephone number is area code 212-749-3311. Our national telephone number again is area code 212-749-3311. And of course, you may call us collect. In the New York area, you may call us at 866-5010. Local calls again at 866-5010. Mayor Lindsay is with us in the studio tonight, and just before we welcome him officially, we'd like to say to our listeners that if the mayor sounds just a bit tired tonight, it is because he is. The mayor hasn't been to bed for the past 48 hours. He's been up all last night settling a hospital workers' strike. And tonight he's been touring Harlem on an evening that so far has been the hottest evening of the year. In fact, it's 88 degrees right now in New York. Mayor Lindsay, good evening, sir.
Good evening, Del. Very happy to be on the program with you.
Before we get to the Koerner Report, and to forestall the questions from our listeners that might be wide of the mark, let's get a few political items out of the way. Governor Rockefeller says he would consider appointing you to the Senate if you asked for it, but that he won't offer it to you unless you do. And you have said you won't consider it unless he offers it to you. Now, those two items were in the weekend's news. Have there been any further developments, and are you considering accepting the seat made vacant by the death of Senator Robert Kennedy?
No, not at all. I mean, no further discussions or developments in the matter, and I consider the whole question at rest, and I'm not sure that it's... I think it's become tiresome now.
A column last week noted the possibility of a Nixon-Lindsay ticket. Have you received any overtures from Mr. Nixon to this effect?
No.
Or would you consider accepting the second spot on the Republican ticket this year with Mr. Nixon as your running
mate? I haven't any interest at all, and I have no expectation or any intention or any plan to run for any elective office this year in 1968.
Well, now that you've cleared up the political talk, let's talk in terms of our advertised subject tonight. Mayor Lindsay, what happened to the Koerner Report? Has the administration decided to ignore its conclusions and suggestions?
Well, rigor mortis hasn't set in totally as yet, but it's half dead. It hasn't really been given a fair shake, I don't think, by those in command and political office around the country. I think the president largely ignored it. Everybody else in high command and the Washington scene, where obviously the action has to begin and where the leadership has to be discovered, chose for one reason or another either to dismiss it or forget it or criticize it, which I think is most unfortunate. The encouraging part of it, I find, is that 2 million copies have been sold in the Bantam Book edition, cost $1.25 per person. That means 2 million Americans have read it. And that's not bad. I don't think any other presidential commission report has ever received that kind of circulation before. And maybe it's made a little dent at that level. It's just too bad that it hasn't really swung the machinery of the government around to get on with the job of repairing the damage that has been done in the country over the past century, and which now finds its nexus and its most of its poison and sickness and cancer in the middle of these core city areas where the disease is very bad, and there's nothing to do but to call in the medics, repair it.
Inasmuch as the commission stated that there was much of the racial problem in America was due to the white racism aspect, do you feel that this is one of the reasons that there has been no action on the report?
Well, the conclusion that these commissioners drew from the report was one that was based on thousands of pages of testimony and many hundreds of pages of very careful findings of fact. The commission traced the history of the United States and the history of the Negro movement and the history of the white community in the nation from its earlier beginnings. And based on all these conclusions, the report found that at bottom, underneath poverty and segregation and all the other pressures of ghetto life and cities around the nation, underneath it all were racial attitudes. Just an underlying attitude based on race. Whites who were not ready to accept Negroes as equals or as partners in the great American adventure. And the commission found that and stated it very baldly, very bluntly, didn't pull any punches about it. I don't know why it should shock everybody so that this commission should have done that. After all, commission consisted of 11 middle-class Americans, most of them white, both political parties of the country, all of them, including the black members, having been brought up through establishment circles, and most of them were not prepared to come to this kind of conclusion when they started, but on the basis of 7 months' careful examination and distilling of the evidence, arrived at that conclusion. Look where they're all from. Illinois, New York, Oklahoma, Massachusetts, California, Ohio again, New York, Kentucky, Atlanta, Georgia. Those are the 11 commissioners, and the report that they filed was unanimous, signed by each one of them. So I don't consider this such a radical thing. And I have the notion that those who were critical of it so fast had not made an equal study themselves of this problem. I don't see how they could have. After all, again, this commission spent 7 arduous months and weeks and weekends and nights with a competent professional staff, doing nothing but working on this with such other time as each of the members had to do for other obligations that he had. Not only that, but I suspect that a great many of the political leadership in the country who either dismissed it as not relevant or particularly important, or who criticized it, had not read it.
Mr. Mayor, few weeks ago, you called for the Kerner Commission to reconvene in the hopes that some positive action might have been taken at that time.
Yeah, that was more than a few weeks. That was, I guess, now a couple of months ago. And I thought it would have been a helpful thing after the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King. It seemed to me entirely appropriate this was an event as basic and as profound as the disorders of the summer of 67, and they called again for a reexamination of where the country's going, what our priorities are, and what our commitments will be to the future. So, in order to bring attention to those matters and also the recommendations that have been made in the Kerner Commission report for national action on jobs, schooling, and housing, and the abolition of those barriers that have erected walls of visible and invisible segregation in communities of the country. It seemed to me entirely appropriate to refocus on what the commission had found and what its recommendations were. However, the chairman of the commission, for what I'm sure were entirely sound reasons of his own, although I disagree with him, decided not to call the commission together.
Mr. Mayor, we're going to start accepting some calls from our night call listeners across the country. And we'll take our first call from Jacksonville, Florida. Mr. Rue is listening to Night Call over WRHC in Jacksonville. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Mayor Lindsay, I want to ask you, if there is any racial disturbance in the city, what steps could you take?
If there are any racial disturbances in a city?
Do you think there will be any racial disturbances in the city?
Did you hear the question, sir?
Yes, I did. Do I think there will be any racial disturbances in the city? I don't know whether you're referring to New York City or some other city or all of them together. I don't know the answer to your question.
Talking about New York City.
Well, New York City, I don't know. I profoundly and sincerely and deeply hope there will not be. But who knows the answer to that question?
All right, thank you, man.
That question depends on a lot of factors, including the element of good faith and luck.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for calling, sir. We'll take our next call, Mr. Mayor, from St. Paul, Minnesota. Miss Susie Berkowitz is listening to Night Call over KSJN-FM. Welcome to Night Call.
Can I speak to Mayor Lindsay, please?
Yes, I'm on the phone, Miss Berkowitz. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Mayor Lindsay?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm a very, very, very liberal Democrat.
Well, bully for you.
But I would like to say I think New York should be proud to have a great mayor like you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yes, I think you're fantastic.
I need you here. Won't you move?
Pardon?
I need you here. Won't you move to New York City?
Oh, listen, we've got McCarthy. I think he's great. I campaigned for him. I'd also like to know, is there any hope of a McCarthy-Rockefeller ticket? People have been saying it'd be a very strong ticket to beat.
I don't know the answer to that. That's kind of crystal ball gazing that I'm not very good at. And I suppose that depends on a lot of imponderables and factors and other developments. And if I said anything about it, I can assure you it would be such guesswork, it would be tantamount to a flip of the coin.
You'd have to get the consent from the Congress, from Congress and the people. And I don't know, I don't think it'd be too hard, would it?
Well, if I had to guess at it, I would say it's unlikely. I think that the whole system in the country kind of militates against that kind of thing. I'm not saying whether that's good or bad, but it doesn't look to me like a viable political proposition at the moment.
Do you plan on coming to Minnesota?
I was just there. How did I miss you? Nominating convention of the Republican nominating convention I came out and spoke for Governor Rockefeller, who I'm supporting for president, and I made what I thought was an electrifying speech before the convention. I can't possibly understand how you missed it.
Well, you wouldn't find me over there. Also, I'm a very strong Democrat, and I do hope very much that McCarthy gets in, and.
Well, if you push enough doorbells like you did in New Hampshire, you just might do it.
No, I campaigned over in Wisconsin.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, but all I can say is, New York should really love to have a mayor like you. You're just fantastic. You're great. You've got so much compassion. You should really be proud of yourself. You're wonderful.
Thank you very much. That's most kind of you. Too bad they don't feel exactly the same about me in New York.
Oh, I'm sure many of them do, because New York has one of the greatest representations. Their governor is Rockefeller, their mayor is Lindsay, and they had Bobby Kennedy for senator. I think New York has one of the greatest states that are represented by your people.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Just put her on again 10 minutes from now.
This is Night Call in New York, and our topic tonight is whatever happened to the Kerner Report. And our guest tonight in the studio is Mayor John V. Lindsay, who has just taken a tour of a very, very hot city And as we said earlier, he's a very tired mayor because he's been up for the last 48 hours attempting to settle the hospital strike. We'll be back with more night calls and more of your comments and your conversations on Night Call right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Mayor John Lindsay after station identification. In our city and state and all across the United States, people are talking about trouble, black and white trouble. Some call it racial tension or see poverty as the real problem, or say law and order has given way to anarchy in our streets. Most people agree, at least, that there is a crisis, and we are a people with many unanswered questions. This station believes you deserve to ask your own questions and get some answers, or at least opinions, from people who should know what they're talking about. So we bring you Night Call, the new nationwide listener call-in show where you ask your questions and express your opinions to leaders such as John Lindsay, Ralph Abernathy, John Gardner, Stokely Carmichael, and Sergeant Shriver. Night Call, the new nationwide radio forum on important issues facing you and the rest of the nation. Night Call, each weeknight. Speak for yourself. Collect on Night Call. Area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010 to Mayor John Lindsay about what happened to the Kerner Report. Again, Del Shields.
More calls are coming in from across the country to talk to our guest, Mayor John B. Lindsay, tonight, and I'd like to pose this next question to the mayor. The Kerner Report made the vital conclusion that the riots may have been incited, but there was no organized conspiracy involved. Now, Mr. Mayor, can the whites accept this to be true, or are we going to find that they will feel the same as before this particular report was filed?
Good question. The report came to that conclusion, as I said before, based on the most careful analysis of all of the facts and all of the evidence, based on an examination of every shred of material that the FBI had and the CIA had and any other intelligence unit in the country, based on its examination of every word of the testimony submitted before the McClellan and other committees in the Congress. And the conclusion was one that was based on all of that mountain of evidence, to wit, that there was no organized interstate conspiracy that one could point to as the cause of a civil disorder in about 50 cities of the nation. Do Americans accept that? I don't know. I think maybe the report has made a bit of a dent and that it's quieted mass media discussion of the point. I haven't heard since then a great deal of debate on the TV and radio and newspapers about conspiracy. And it may be that the commission succeeded in putting mainly at rest that argument. Do most Americans in the privacy of their homes and hearts believe that this was a conspiracy of some kind? I don't know. I'm sure that there are many, many who do. And there's nothing that the commission can say that would erase that from their hearts. I think that's because the Americans who come to that conclusion come to it because they want to believe it, not based on any logical examination of what it's all about.
We'll accept some more calls, Mr. Mayor. This time we'll go to Nashville, Tennessee. Miss Donna Handy is listening to Night Call over WVOL. Welcome to Night Call.
Thank you. Mayor Lindsay?
Yes, Miss Landy.
I listened to you on the Johnny Carson show about last week, I believe. Or the week before.
Well, good for you. That's great.
I enjoyed seeing you, and I'd like to say that I think you are an extraordinary man as well as mayor, and I think that your integrity is beyond reproach.
That's kind of you to say that, Miss Landy. I hope you enjoy it when I'm on the Carson show.
Oh, I did, really.
It's wild, isn't it?
Oh, I enjoy it. I look at it anyway. I'd like to ask you, in your Kerner report, did you bring in just ordinary people off the street from different parts of the country to sort of like make testimonies or discuss the problem? or was it just the people who were on the committee that...
No. Good question. No, the commission brought in anybody who wanted to be heard was heard. Either individual members of the commission or committees of the commission or the staff listened to any person who came to the commission and said that they had something to say. Most of it was all recorded, and some of it not recorded. Most of it off the record because most people didn't want to speak on the record. Then the commission members individually traveled to all of the major cities where there were civil disorders and chatted with people on the streets. I went to two or three cities myself and chatted around with people on the street corners, fellows hanging around, you know.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Nashville?
No, haven't been there. I'd like to go.
Yeah.
But, and then the staff of the commission traveled to all of the cities without exception for weekly periods and probed and toured and examined and chatted with anybody and everybody who was willing to talk. So it was based on pretty careful examination. I'm sure there were lots of people overlooked or somehow connection wasn't made that should have been talked to, but that's bound to be the way in a seven-month period. It was relatively limited space of time.
Uh-huh. Well, as a result of your discoveries in the Colonel report, did you find that one of the major problems now is that young Negroes have a strong distrust of whites since the racial problem has been brought to the forefront in recent years?
Yeah, you named it. Well, the report found that the most serious problem was with the young people of the country, and that young Negroes in their teens and early 20s, who were mainly in the vanguard of civil disorders when they occurred, were the ones who were the most disenchanted with the world around them and who had lost patience. Older people had exhibited and have throughout the decades a great deal of patience, were willing to accept a lot of negatives that young folks won't accept these days. And young men and young women aren't going to be that patient. So that's where the problem is. And you can understand that because if joblessness and underemployment, as well as unemployment, rates of 30% exist in these ghetto areas, the ones who suffer the most are the young men and women who have their whole lives in front of them.
Yeah,
and no wonder they've had it and are mad. It's small wonder.
Well, Miss Andy, thank you so much for calling. Our board is backing up with calls.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. This is Night Call in New York, area code 212-749-3311. That's our national telephone number. And, of course, you're free to call Collect. We welcome your comments and your conversations with our guest tonight, Mayor John V. Lindsay in New York. Our local telephone number is 866-5010. That's 866-5010. Tonight, whatever happened to the Kerner Report, and we'll take a local call, this time Mr. Steve Falk, who's listening to Night Call over radio station WLIB-FM. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
How do you do? I'm working with a group of individuals who are very concerned with the problems of white racism, and we're essentially organizing to go out into the white neighborhoods through church organizations, civic organizations, and the like, in order to approach people in meetings and stuff like that with the ideas mentioned as taken off from the Kerner Report, and try to continue the controversy, at least, and perhaps get some people on so-called our side, or at least to help to keep the problem at large, keep people aware of it so it doesn't get benched.
Good for you. Wish there were more like you.
Well, there are other organizations doing things comparable to this. What I'd like to find out is, can the mayor, you, and people have been saying you're a great guy and all that kind of stuff, so I personally agree, but that's irrelevant at the moment.
It's irrelevant, but it's nice when somebody says it occasionally, isn't it?
Oh, sure, I like it too.
I'm teasing you. I'm just teasing you. Keep going, Mr. Falk. Are you a minister?
No, but one of the people who's sort of in charge of this is a minister.
What city are you in?
New York, Manhattan.
Manhattan.
Right here, a few blocks away.
Come around and say hello.
Okay, well, no, the point is, can the mayor's office afford groups like this information, perhaps leeway? Can the mayor's office do anything for this cause? Is there any way we could get in touch with your office as to help and advise?
Yeah, best way would be to hook up with the Urban Coalition.
Urban Coalition, I called them up, and they seem to just deal with problems in the ghetto.
Yeah, where are you working, in the white communities and suburbs?
Well, we're just starting. This is something of this nature. We're just beginning to have some...
No, but the coalition's number one job is the development of jobs and job training programs in established organizations, which is largely white institutions.
Mm-hmm.
So, here's where I think most of the help is needed, really.
Well, our goal was to keep at the community at large, rather than, in addition to not directly at the institutions, the job places, but at the communities whereby the people themselves are, to get at the individual.
Yeah.
Is there any way that we could get in touch with your office?
Sure, you can get in touch with my office. We'd be delighted, but the main thrust is needed in non-governmental circles. The government needs to get jacked up plenty. But the big problem is the ordinary guy out in the neighborhood.
That's what we're at.
And here's where it's got to be. The non-governmental input on this has got to be the key input. Otherwise, we're not going to change anything around. We have governmental institutions like Bill Booth, chairman of our Commission on Human Rights, who'd be delighted to chat with you on this subject. We have key staff people who live with this subject all of the time. But our problem is to crank up the outside world. And
right.
The best thing to do is to work with groups like the Coalition and block associations, neighborhood associations, civic organizations, and church organizations.
Exactly what we're doing.
Get people steamed up. I'm certainly glad to hear what you're doing. It's terribly important, and there are not enough people who are doing it.
Right. Now, is there, aside from the Urban Coalition, would there be any other ways that we could possibly get, once we get completely founded, if we can get even, funded for something like this? Or is this a goal?
Mr. Falk, the mayor has suggested that you get in touch with his office. And it would seem to us that would be the first step for you to do this.
Commissioner, William Booth, Bill Booth, Commissioner, the Chairman of the Commission on Human Rights.
Okay.
Thank you so much for calling, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is Night Call in New York, and we'll take our next call from Des Moines, Iowa. Mr. Kelly is listening to Night Call over KRNT. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. I had a question for Mayor Lindsay. A little earlier this spring, the mayor issued an appeal to the, or expressed the belief that the Kerner Commission would be reconvened, and I believe that Governor Kerner sort of put a squelch on it. I was wondering what there was that stopped the reconvening of the commission.
Governor Kerner didn't think it was timely or that it was needed.
Yes, well, I had one other question. It is very difficult for someone following the presidential race this year to find the stance of the individuals on the subject matter. Now, McCarthy, I know, has fully endorsed the commission's report. I was wondering, you hear so very little about Nixon and Humphrey's stand. I think Rockefeller has qualifiedly endorsed it. I don't know exactly. Could you shed any light on their views as you understand them?
Well, as I understand them, and again, I could be wrong, because I know just what you know, what you read in the newspapers. McCarthy has endorsed it, yes. Humphrey first was critical of it, right away quick, and then some weeks later or months later, he amended his position and made a couple of public speeches in which he endorsed the Kerner Commission report.
I see.
Rockefeller has generally endorsed it. I don't know what Nixon has done.
He hasn't taken a stand that you know of yet?
I don't recall having seen anything explicit in the newspapers on that.
I see. Well, it's an honor
to talk to you. Mr. Kelly, thank you for calling. We have to break for station identification.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Mayor John Lindsay after station identification. Listen to the voices of Night Call.
Prophet Isaiah says, "Your cities are burning because there is injustice in your land, and the Lord will not hear you because your hands are full of blood." Now, I will interpret that to say the United States is on fire, its cities are burning because there's injustice in the land, and the Lord above will not hear the cries of people like Lyndon Baines Johnson because his hands are full of blood.
Stokely Carmichael quotes the Bible in support of militancy. And a National Guard commander says ballots, not bullets, are the best ammunition.
I think you have a tremendous power in the democracy of the ballot box. It's much stronger than bullets. You do have the ballot box, which is far stronger than any sort of suppression.
Night Call, the new nationwide call-in show on vital issues, each weeknight on this station. Speak for yourself, collect on Night Call. Area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010 to Mayor John Lindsay about what happened to the Kerner Report. Again, Del Shields.
And we say a hearty good evening to many of the stations who join us for the second half hour of Night Call. And for the first time since we've had Night Call, we have a live in-person guest, and we have a very, very tired mayor with us. And once again, we want to thank him for taking the time to be with us this evening after taking a walking tour of a city where I think it's about 88 degrees. And if anybody needed air conditioning, I think the mayor needed it on his tour.
You're off by 10 points. 98 degrees.
98? Oh, wow. Now, we'll take another call, this time a local call from New York. Mr. Alfred Freeman is listening to Night Call of a radio station WLIB-FM. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
I just want to say I think you're just great, and I'm a resident of New York City, and a Democrat at that, but you're one time I don't vote Democratic unless you run with McCarthy or something.
Thank you, Mr. Freeman.
Incidentally, you're the only man that was ever in Congress that ever had a speech written by me printed in the Congressional Record for the Veterans Hospital Radio and Television Guild.
Oh, yeah, this comes back to me and rings a bell now.
Long time ago.
Yeah, you're a constituent of mine.
That's right.
17th Congressional District.
That's right, sir.
How is the old district?
Well, the district is pretty good, particularly now since we have some bicycling in the park, which I intend to get to one of these days with my wife.
Attaboy, you're good and strong and young and healthy.
That's right. Mayor, I just wanted to say this, that I had... after the death of Martin Luther King, in fact, the next night, I happened to get on what's known as the conversation station, and I suggested that there be that station and its network, possibly together with other stations such as LIB, set up a Martin Luther King Foundation for interracial cooperation, which would have committees that would accept volunteers to do certain jobs, such as Monsignor Fox did when he brought the people to paint down from Westchester.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, they were so impressed with it that they took my name and so forth and considered this. We had a meeting on it at which they brought in, at which I brought in, actually, through Barry Goddard and David Garth brought in one of Monsignor Fox's people. And only nothing has happened since, and I'm just wondering whether there might be a chance of sparking some of the private enterprise to set up such a committee to form directories of people who would volunteer, work side by side interracially, and thus get to know each other, and also to perform tasks that would reduce the frictions that are causing racial...
Well, I think I know what happened to that effort, Mr. Freeman. Most of it got channeled off into the big campaign that is being waged, and some of it in memory of Dr. Martin Luther King, to raising private funds to support aspects of the work of the Urban Coalition. That campaign is now... has now been put together, and it's called the Give a Damn campaign.
I see that.
Give jobs, give money, give a damn.
I see.
And it's about to get launched on television and radio and buses and subways and other means of communication, designed to promote constructive and productive and decent relationships between the races, break down the barriers that have existed between races, but more importantly, to be very concrete on delivery of the humanistic things that need doing, lifting people out of desperate situations in which they have found themselves, and making them a part of society as we've enjoyed it in this country. And some of that is being done in the memory and name of Dr. Martin Luther King, but it's all trying to be coordinated under this one umbrella. So far, between $3 and $4 million in private funds have been raised. The target is much higher than that. We'd sure like to have you a part of that and appreciate what you've been doing with Barry Goddard, who's assistant to the mayor, and the rest of the team who've been working on this subject.
Oh, I'd be glad to give a couple hours a week to a thing like that, at least. And it's been very nice to talk to you. I'm glad to hear what's happened to the thing that I think I suggested.
Thank you, Mr. Freeman.
Right out.
Thank you for calling, sir. This is Night Call in New York. We'll accept our next caller from Cleveland, Ohio. Mr. Jim Harpham is listening to Night Call over WERE-FM. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Yes, Mayor Lindsay, I think we all have our own feelings about the underlying attitudes that the report brought out, and I do feel that we're all trying to do our own soul-searching in our own individual ways that we can, and trying to modify our views to bring about better jobs and education and, in our own way, overcome the feeling of discrimination. But doesn't this bring the issue up just to a certain point? Because throughout years, generations, hundreds of years, the apartheid feelings have been going on and have been promulgating themselves. And don't we really have to develop a program where we try to intermarry the races so that we can then really eliminate the underlying problems? Because, again, we bring this up to a point, we accept the minority groups, but we still, deep down inside, discriminate, I think, and it's hard to overcome this, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are.
I don't think you're going to bring about racial intermarriage or any kind of marriage by program. Have you ever seen a parent or anybody else try to fix marriages? Or any other group or organization or individuals in any community trying to fix up A, B together to get married? It doesn't work. It happens as a natural course. You will increasingly, I think, see interracial marriages in the United States, and it will happen gradually, and it will happen as a matter of course. But it will happen because young people who want to get married themselves will fall in love with each other, and they'll do so regardless of their race, but none of their old folks are going to tell them what to do. And you, for example, how old are you?
I'm 29.
Well, you're an old man. And you got any children?
I do.
Well, you try to tell your boy or your girl what he's going to do about getting married, and try to promote interreligious or interracial marriages or any other kind of a marriage, and he'll tell you to go mind your own business. He's going to figure out what to do with his own life, and he's absolutely right. And your daughter or your son may discover that the road to love and happiness for him is an interracial or an interreligious marriage. That may well be it. But he's going to, or she's going to, discover that on his own, and there isn't anything that you can do about it one way or the other except to be a parent who provides love and affection and understanding and sympathy patience with that child of yours.
Well, you bring up a good point, but
gee, I better go into the Dear Abby business the way I'm talking here.
No, I'm not really trying to advocate this. I'm just, trying to sort it out in my own mind.
Yeah. Because the way you put the question, you said, shouldn't we have a program? well, of interracial marriages. Programs of this kind don't work because you're talking about a very personal and human thing with people. It's entirely personal. And in my limited experience, the interracial marriages that I have seen among contemporaries, but mainly persons younger than I am, have been very, very happy ones, and really beautiful things. But you know, chacun go, each to his own, and the business of love and marriage, no one else is going to tell anyone about it. And that's been the way since the beginning of time, I would imagine. The main thing is to have a home in which there's an absence of prejudice. And if there's prejudice in the home, that kind of dreary, insidious, sly stuff that creeps around the home started by the parents, then you're going to have kids who are going to start out on the wrong footing in life, no matter what happens. And those poor kids have been hurt basically by their parents. If the parents, on the other hand, have a home that's full of love and understanding and value human beings for what they are, not for their color or for their race, then, if you're lucky, those kids will have beautiful, happy marriages like their parents did.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. This is Night Call in New York, area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. That's our national telephone number. And, of course, we welcome your comments and your conversation. You may call us collect. Our local telephone number in New York, 866-5010. That's 866-5010. We'll take our next call from Mr. James Brito of Brooklyn, New York, who's listening to Night Call over WLIB-FM. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Good evening, Mr. Sheriff. I'd like to ask the mayor, what is being done about the kids that go to jail, that get wrapped up in these riots and what have you, and maybe a few other crimes that come out? They have this Youthful Offender Act, I'm sure, but what about the record is there? They can't escape it. What do they do when they come out? What kind of programs do they have for them? They say to help the kids, take them off the street, but the ones that go in, when they come out, what do they have to face?
Well, in the cities where they have had these, where they have had riots, various kinds, it depends on the programs in each state and in each city, and on the laws in that state and city for what they've done. And each one of the states and cities is different from the other one. Now, some of the more progressive ones have very good programs where they can erase these things. Some of them have had courts and administration of justice systems that have sifted these things out and gotten rid of 90% of it, and restricted prosecution to the hardcore cases. And let's face it, if you have a riot, and you have the rule of law smashed and smashing the windows and looting and all the rest of it, there's going to be prosecutions under the rule of law. There's got to be. But when so far as the dragnet is concerned, with those youngsters who get swept up in the business, and a lot of them really kind of swept along by the tide, as I understand it, in some of the communities, if not all of them, certainly not all of them, but some of them, where they've had modern systems, they've tried to sift the thing out so that the youngsters who got swept away in the tide of the thing were not damaged.
But isn't it taken into consideration that that kids, in big cities like New York, there's very little that you can do and places that you can go? And
well, fortunately, we've been very lucky indeed, and thanks to the patience of our people in New York City, we have not had riots in our town in the last 2 or 3 years.
Well, I'm not so much on the riots. I'm just thinking about the kids that just get caught up in...
Well, now you're in a different area. I'm sorry. I thought your question had to do with civil disorders, and I guess I've become almost too specialized because there's whole sections in this report on this whole question of the administration of justice in the course of civil disorders. We're trying some interesting experiments here in New York, fortunately with the help of the Vera Foundation, or the Vera Institute of Criminal Justice, and the Ford Foundation, and other far-reaching organizations. We're trying things like a program under which young kids who are caught up in the system and get, you know, they get arrested at night, the next thing you know, they're in the coils of the law. We're trying a system under which we'll get them a job, get an employer that's a proper employer, and before the case comes up into the court, by agreement with the judge and the prosecution, and agreement with the employer that we've figured out, who will take the youngster and put him on the track towards something important for him, the whole thing's gotten rid of. And he doesn't start out in that revolving door system of a criminal life where you go into the court, go to jail, back out in the street, back into court, back into jail, so it goes. We have high hopes for it, but we have a little distance to go yet.
What about
Mr. Brito, thank you so much for calling, sir. We'd like to take your next question, but we have a number of other people who'd like to talk to the mayor tonight. Thank you so much for calling. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Mayor John Lindsay after station identification. Black is a red-blooded American color. The black showed the color of his blood in places like Vietnam and Korea and every other all-American battleground since the Revolution. Every time his country calls for help, he hears. But we don't seem to hear him when he calls. If black and white would listen with their hearts, they could hear each other. That's what Night Call is all about. It lets people air their views man to man, color to color, live from phones anywhere in the country. A syringe full of junk bites into black and white skin with the same ruining surge, and a black mother cries over her child just like a white one does. The problems are the same. The characters just have different colors. Night Call's person-to-person nationwide radio hookup lets the black and the white tell it like it is. Speak for yourself, collect on Night Call. Area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010 to Mayor John Lindsay about what happened to the Kerner Report. Again, Del Shields.
And once again, our mayor is with us tonight, and we're discussing the Kerner Report. And Mr. Mayor, I'd like to pose this question to you. In the introduction to the Kerner Report, Tom Wicker stated that the report is a picture of our nation divided. Now, is our nation divided? And if it is, what is our course? Should we work for a nation that should be divided equally between black and white, where you will have equal justice on both sides, or should we attempt to work for one nation indivisible, as it has been said for so long?
The commission report did find that there was a very dangerous and insidious tendency that has crept into the American system to have a divided country. It found that there was a polarization of the races that had begun and that was intensifying. And with the combination of passions and tensions in city areas particularly, plus the fears that have been growing around because of ordinary street crimes that have existed in the country, that this had all accumulated and concentrated in a division, which was very dangerous and very bad, and that we had to get on with the job of making sure that this sickness was cured. You can't have separate but equal. It's no good. The Warren Supreme Court articulated this, I think, very well. And it just isn't right. I know it isn't right. I know from my own experience it's no good. And it'll never work. And the only way that you're going to solve this problem is to have one country. The only way you're going to do that is to have human beings who respect each other for what each person is, each with his own thing. And, you know, that race doesn't make any difference. There's quality in race. There's greatness in race. In blackness, there's great beauty. And white and black people of this country have got to understand and appreciate the strength that lies in tradition and heritage and race. But to figure out a system that puts everybody off in separate groups in some corner, that's going to be dreadful in the United States. That's not what this country's all about. And those countries that have found that have had nothing but trouble who've done this. Take a look at the terrible religious differences that have existed in India and Pakistan between Hindu and Muslim. Divided and rent those countries apart, and there's bloodshed and despair. Held them back. Haven't been able to progress because of those divisions. And when it happens racially, no good. And would do nothing but drag back if that should be the case. So we have to be one country and a united country.
We'll take our next call from Mrs. Richard Tucker of South Bend, Indiana, who's listening to Night Call over WFBT AM and FM. Welcome to Night Call.
Thank you. Mayor Lindsay, I was wondering, as a prospective school teacher that I am, I was wondering what you think of busing school children to schools other than the ones to which they are assigned in their area.
Well, insofar as it reasonably promotes integration, it's a perfectly proper and sound way to go about things. There are practical elements to it. One of it is distance. And in many cities, they've found that it's impractical to bus too far. The kids spend all their time on buses.
Right.
New York City, we have two systems. Some of it is voluntary, some of it's involuntary. There are many areas where there's what we call open enrollment. And any kid can go to any school he wants to if he wants to travel that far, and his parents are willing to let the child travel that far. Other cases, we have a depressurizing of overcrowded schools, most of which are in ghetto areas, by busing the kids into non-pressurized schools, most of which are in white areas. In other areas, the black community has found, and as a matter of practicality, that the distances are too great because those schools happen to be located right in the heart of the ghetto. In these areas, of course, where some of the real coming to grips with things have happened, and that's why we've had in New York City, in New York, I don't know whether you read about it or not, some of our problems with decentralization of the great school system here, which in short means giving the parents who live in these neighborhoods a very meaningful and important voice, and indeed a fair measure of control over the destiny of their lives, which includes the school system. And that's a very important shift in attitudes in this country that's taken place there, a very, very important one. It means, in part, it means that there's a gradual development and great pride in race and in tradition and background, which is has been the way of fresh immigrant groups in big cities over the decades, whether they be Jews, Italians, or Irish, or Greeks, or what have you. And this has been an important aspect in the development of school systems. But meanwhile, it's important not to give up on the goal of integration for the reasons that I just got through talking about a moment ago about divisions in the country.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for calling. And we wrongly identified the station. We said WFBT. Actually, it's WSBT. Thank you so much. We'll take our next call from Washington, D.C. Mr. Rosenberg is listening to Night Call over AMU-FM. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Mayor Lindsay, first of all, as a part-time New Yorker, I'd like to thank you tonight, I think, on the part of many New Yorkers for your assistance that you will remain as our mayor, and at the same time, to wish you the best of luck in getting through this summer.
Thank you, sir.
Now, as for the questions on the Kerner report. The report set forth a number of very specific, very concrete, very good proposals that are going to involve a lot of money, something along the lines of an internal Marshall Plan, I think is the image that's been used. Do you think that this kind of money can be put forth by government while the Vietnam War is still being fought? If not, do you think it actually can be put forward after the Vietnam War is over? And do you think the country can wait that long?
Well, big questions. I don't think there's any ifs about it. I think we have to do it for the survival of the country. That's what's at stake. Second, it'd be a lot easier if the Vietnam War were not strangling us, as it were, in our attitudes and approaches to life. I think it's an unproductive, unwanted, endless, bottomless, sideless war that we should not be in, and we ought to unravel it as fast as we possibly can. And I also think that it is related to the sickness of the cities in many complicated ways. But the $30 billion that are being spent in Vietnam at the moment, the rate of $2.5 billion a month, unquestionably, is damaging the future of our cities. We can't even get this present United States Congress and the Washington crowd in general to put through $75 million at this time for these cities for this summer, a very small appropriation in order to provide jobs for young teenagers and young men in their early 20s who are jobless at the moment. And I'm convinced that part of that is because of the cost of the Vietnam War. Now, if the war were ended tomorrow, I don't say that $30 billion is going to be funneled immediately into these cities. That's not the history of things in this country, nor the history of the free democratic process. But certainly it would be a beginning, and a very important beginning.
Well, Mayor, if on the practical side, as you say, it's not in the history of the country to put forth this kind of money so quickly, and yet the problem is an urgent one. Is there any means other than going through Congress for the president to get this money, to take some action on his own part to get the action taken? If he's
no, there's no means because we have a representative government and a democratic one that works by the ballot box and which has a check and balance. Instead of having a parliament and plus a prime minister, we have a chief executive and a Congress. And it's although there are frustrations and a slowness about the system that at times sends us right up the wall, it's still the best system that's been devised. Remember what Winston Churchill said, democracy is the worst form of government ever devised by the mind of man, except for every other form of government.
Right, Mayor. But accepting the urgency of the problem and the slowness of government, mustn't we not take a pessimistic view?
Well, I can't afford to be pessimistic. I don't have the time.
Thank you for calling, sir. Thank you so much for calling. This is Night Call in New York, and we cannot accept any more phone calls, but we would like to give our mayor a few seconds to kind of wrap things up for us on the Kerner Report. Mr. Mayor, a lot of people depend upon you, and you've given a lot of people some hope, and there are some people who feel that perhaps we can kind of dig ourselves out of this terrible mess that we're in. What words do you have for us?
Well, thank you, Del Shields, and for being a very good host and for inviting me on Night Call. I think the Kerner Report is an important document. I hope it's not dead, and I hope that the people of our country will keep it alive by understanding that there is a desperate need in the nation for a reexamination of ourselves. There's a desperate need, I think, for a reorientation of our priorities, a need for people to understand that the best foreign policy is a strong and healthy domestic policy that shows the United States around the world, particularly the non-white countries of the world whose allegiance and affections we seek to gain, that we do justice in our own community, which means doing justice in our cities. And doing justice means giving a break to each person so that he doesn't fall down through no fault of his own. That has to be done, and I think the American people, with common sense and understanding, will do it.
Mr. Mayor, thank you so much for being with us tonight on Night Call. This is Del Shields in New York. Good night and peace.
Night Call, the new nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tomorrow night, same time, same station, the new moderator of the Southern Baptist Church, Dr. W.A. Criswell, about is the Southern Baptist Church racist anymore? Listen tomorrow night. Discuss freely and responsibly your own personal opinions. Speak for yourself on Night Call. Produced by the United Methodist Church, presented with National Council of Churches, National Catholic Office for Radio and Television, and National Urban Coalition.